Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey everyone, welcome to A Good Football Show. I am Matt Straub. It is Monday, February 28th, and this is the first of many NFL Combine / NFL Draft focused episodes over the next couple of months leading up to the big day itself. And with the NFL Combine getting underway this week, we're taking a look at who has the most to gain and some of the players we are most excited to watch. And to break all this down, I'm joined by Chrissy Freud and Thor Nystrom, who is in fact headed to the Combine this week. Thor, we'll start with you. We got a message from you offline about this podcast that alluded to you being fully prepared to run through a brick wall. So, scale of 1 to 10, what's your excitement level at the start of this week?
It's about 100. The NFL Combine, it's such a fun event, and you finally get quantifiable data about all these prospects as far as their athletic profile. So, I'm very excited to be able to fill in the boxes as far as all those things and get more information about these prospects.
Chrissy, where are you on the run through a brick wall scale? Where are we at?
Well, unfortunately, I will not be headed to Indianapolis this year, but I'm excited to see what some of these players do. I am extremely excited to see the medicals from Carson Strong's knee, which it's already been cleared. So I'm happy to know that after this, we won't have to deal with any more rumors of some long-term knee issue that have been spread around this season that are unsubstantiated.
And by the way, it doesn't have to be a brick wall in Indianapolis. You can run through a brick wall locally, like any brick wall.
The one behind me?
Yeah, that will do just fine. All right, so as I said, we're going to go through position groups at the Combine, looking at who has the most to gain and who we're most excited about and or intrigued to watch. So let's start this off with the running backs. Thor, your running back with the most to gain is Arizona State's Rashad White. 16 total touchdowns last season. Tell us why he has so much to gain this week.
Yeah, he's a big. He's 6'2". He's 210, so he's well-built, and he's very, very athletic. But he has vision issues. He's had issues running between the tackles. And so despite the fact of his well-built body type, and despite the fact that he's extremely athletic, and despite the fact that he's one of the best receiving backs in this class, people haven't gotten behind him yet. His Senior Bowl performance was up and down. I was a little bit higher on him at the Senior Bowl, I think, than some other folks, but he's extremely athletic. And so I think this is sort of a showcase for him where he could jump up the board a bit. He was a Feldman freak lister last year. He's run 22 miles per hour on the GPS. He squats 500 pounds, power cleans 300 pounds. So, I mean, you want to talk about a very strong freak, especially a kid at 6'2". If he comes out and he runs super duper fast and he jumps high, you know, you talk about a kid who's extremely explosive, he could be on the move up the board.
22 miles per hour, 500 pounds, that's all you got? I mean, what about some, do you have any impressive numbers on this guy? Chrissy, looking at the offense that Rashad White thrived in, I mean, this is not exactly a guy who benefited from incredible quarterback play this past season, right?
No, I don't think so, which is kind of heartbreaking to me because Jaden Daniels there for a while did linger around my, I'd say, top 7 to 12 quarterbacks in my rankings. Mm-hmm. And my question for Jaden this entire season was, okay, well, he's scoring with his legs. They're getting it to the end zone through other ways, like through White. But can he consistently score on the pass the way that he needs to when he's called upon? And the answer ultimately ended up being no, despite showing some flashes that it could be yes during the season. So I think the fact that he was able to accomplish that in spite of Jaden Daniels, who has now been left to transfer, is really a testament to him.
Yeah, absolutely. And Thor, meanwhile, the running backs you've got under the category most intriguing and or who you're most excited to watch are Cincinnati's Jerome Ford and Michigan State's Kenneth Walker. So putting these two guys into the same answer here, why are you looking forward to seeing both of them in particular?
Well, Jerome Ford, he's another freak athlete where the question about him, it's another thing about vision. Jerome Ford's a kid who started at Alabama. He was a ballyhooed type recruit who couldn't get on the field there. And I think the reason why is because Nick Saban didn't think that he could find the hole. But you know, what he was a high school track star. I'm going to give you a couple more stats about him. So he's 5'11", he's 210, well-built kid. Ran a 4.4 40 coming out of high school with a 10.61 100 meter time. Again, coming out of high school, those numbers assuredly have gotten better. And by the way, super explosive on film. His high-end speed is right near the top of this class in terms of running backs. But the question that you have about Jerome Ford, it's can he find those holes? This is an event that really suits his skill set because he should star in it. So you want him to ace this test. And assuming that he does, his stock should be on the upswing. Kenneth Walker, he's a bit on the other side of it where he typically does find the holes. He's one of the best slashers in this class. I think of him as sort of a slalom type runner, like, you know, sort of like a skier, you know, going side to side and stuff like that. Incredibly productive, workhorse type back. Obviously, he was a Heisman finalist this past season at Michigan State, but we just don't know how he will test. I assume that he'll do pretty good in the agility test just because he's so hard to get your hands on. But the one question that you have about him, it's the high end speed. You know, you saw guys be able to catch up to him, you know, when he got out into the open field, and he had issues pulling away from guys there. So that's the one big question with Kenneth Walker's evaluation. We'll see when he gets to the 40-yard dash. But if Kenneth Walker runs better than we expect him to, his stock is going to be on the uptick because you have no other questions about Kenneth Walker's evaluation.
A timely slalom reference there, by the way, with the Winter Olympics recently concluding. So well done there.
I'm a company man.
So Ford had 20 total touchdowns. Walker had 19 touchdowns, 6.2 yards per carry. That huge season. At one point, one of the betting favorites to win the Heisman. Chrissy, what was the impact, though, of Michigan State's quarterback play in your eyes and that whole offensive environment on his production?
Well, it wasn't always fantastic. I think that Peyton Thorne had some ups and downs. I think that his highs were really high. His lows are really low. He had one game where he failed to even reach a 40% completion percentage. That game was an absolute beatdown, one of the worst showings of really any quarterback this season. But I thought that Kenneth Walker had a lot of the same things to overcome that Peyton did. I mean, the offensive line there was really inconsistent. So I think the fact that he was able to accomplish this much says a lot about him, and that perhaps if the environment around him had been better, that this guy who was already in the Heisman conversation, a front runner at one point, is even better than we think he is.
Yeah, he put up some big numbers, but could have been even better potentially in a better environment. So let's move now to the quarterbacks. Chrissy, who is your quarterback with the most to gain at the combine?
I think that Desmond Ridder has a lot to show. I think that everyone has a lot to show. Malik Willis is obviously very athletic. I think he's going to continue to show that. I think he's going to post some really good numbers. But the thing is that this quarterback class continues to be wide open. And while I'm not someone who is going to say, oh, the combine changes my rankings and projections, because it won't, there's more we can learn about in terms of measurables about each of these guys. Bailey Zappe is kind of a guy that's still a little bit unknown. He's more on people's radar, but I think that whatever he does there is going to help him as well. And I think that really pretty much anything that they show is going to kind of pull people in some different directions.
You mentioned a few names there. Is there anyone in particular you're very intrigued or excited to watch? I mean, you said it's not going to change your ranking of these guys, but is there anyone you're especially intrigued to see?
Well, I like to look at some of the lesser known guys that literally no one knows much of anything about. I think that EJ Perry, I mean, whenever I first went to look for film on him, I had to contact the university and go through a couple people because there was literally nothing. So I'm looking forward to seeing more of him. He's a guy who's really, really athletic that I think is going to catch some more attention after becoming the offensive MVP at the Shrine Bowl. And then Skylar Thompson is another guy that I've always really liked that unfortunately had some injury issues and kind of fell out of the spotlight, but did some good things before he was injured. So I think this is a good opportunity for guys like that, guys like Caleb Ellaby, who have better passing ability than they're being given credit for. I think it's a good opportunity for them to just get on some more people's radar. And then Cole Kelly out of Southeastern Louisiana posted some really high numbers. I'm not sure how many of those are for real, because he wasn't doing that at Arkansas. But I think that there's a lot of question marks and a lot of guys that are getting quite literally no attention that we're going to learn some things about.
Thor, of any of the names that Chrissy mentioned or any she didn't mention, any quarterbacks that you've got your eyes on this week?
We were talking before the show, kind of disappointing that Matt Corral isn't going to be throwing. You know, he's I guess he's sitting out with the high ankle sprain that he had at the end of the season. You know, I'm not a doctor and I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. So I don't know exactly, you know, how healthy or not that he is, but his process hasn't started yet. So he's the one guy that we haven't seen yet. So it's kind of disappointing that we're not going to see him yet. And the only opportunity that we're going to be able to is at the very end of March is when his pro day is. And I think his pro day happens to fall on the same day that Willis's does. And one of these other top court, maybe it's Howell's, you know, there's like three of the top quarterbacks, their pro days on the same day. So it's kind of disappointing about that. One, you know, just speaking of the top, you know, I'm sort of with Chrissy. She'd made a comment that, as far as the top quarterbacks, their performances at the combine, your opinion of them, it's not going to change too much by their performances at the combine. So I agree with that. But the quarterback sort of down the line, you're a little bit interested in looking at their arms, the guys that you haven't had exposure to it in the postseason. Dustin Crum is one that I'd be sort of interested to see him throw up close. He actually had the highest big time throw to turnover worthy throw ratio in this class. He's actually the only guy that had a ratio of that over four. I think that's a little bit more interesting to look at than, for instance, TD to INT ratio, which is that brings more of your teammate and your scheme into it. Another guy who had a pretty good ratio with that is Jack Cohn, who went to Notre Dame. I think his arm is a little bit better than people think. So those would be a couple of guys off the beaten path a little bit that I would look at. Cole Kelly, Chrissy brought him up. He's another guy, more of a sleeper guy that I'm interested to take a look at him. His nickname is the Louisiana Steamboat. He's, you know, he's this kid who's like 6'7", 265. He originally signed with Arkansas, and he's a little bit quicker and faster than you would think being at that size. So I'm interested to see him up close. Those would be three guys, quote unquote sleepers, that I'm interested in. And then, of course, at the very top, people know my boy in this class is Malik Willis. I want him to do all the athletic testing because I think that he could have the most dominant, at least in terms of athletic testing, the most dominant combine performance ever for a quarterback if he does all the testing. And I want him to have the showmanship to go out and do that. So I hope we get to see that.
And Chrissy, where is Malik Willis on your board heading into the combine?
I had him at third best in the Senior Bowl afterward, after all considered. But the thing was about that is that I think that if he had been the same quarterback that he was from day two and onward after the Senior Bowl, I'm sorry, day two and onward of the Senior Bowl practices, if he was that same guy throughout the whole season, then he's undoubtedly the best quarterback in this class. But the simple answer to that is that he wasn't. He was one of the worst declining passers in the nation. Had multiple games with three interceptions or more against, three interceptions in three games against some subpar secondaries. That really raised a lot of questions. There were a lot of passes that he should have been throwing with touch that he wasn't. It was basically a fastball. And I talked to his quarterbacks coach about this, and he told me that they had been working on that he had been getting better with how to throw different passes, essentially. And I think that showed up at the Senior Bowl. But the question is, can he maintain that along with that level of athleticism at the NFL level? And I just haven't seen a big enough body of work to prove positive to put him higher than that.
Who doesn't love a classic chocolate chip cookie? Famous Amos has been making them since the 70s, 1975 to be exact. With semi-sweet chocolate chips and a satisfying crunch, it's everything classic in one bite-sized cookie, and fans couldn't get enough. That's right. You'll find our original recipe, the one you know and love, in every bag of Famous Amos original chocolate chip cookies. Find Famous Amos anywhere you buy your favorite snacks.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, you put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor, because you know the bigger the fight, the better the reward. Medela, the mark of the fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, we're going to turn our attention now to pass catchers, starting with wide receivers. And Thor, your wide receiver with the most to gain is Trey Lance's former teammate at North Dakota State, Christian Watson. Tell us why.
And Christian Watson, to be clear, he has probably already gained the most of the wide receiver class to this point in the process, okay, just from what he has done at the Senior Bowl, from sort of the consensus. And you can see this in Benjamin Robinson in Grinding the Mock, if you just want to look at sort of like a stock check, because, you know, coming into the process, I think he was, you know, sort of like around like the middle rounds, like, you know, fourth round or maybe even fifth round. And now he's gone up, you know, certainly into the top maybe 100 or so. But I think he can lock himself into the top 50 and maybe even start to go into the fringe of the back half of the first round if he dominates at the combine. Like I think he can and he will. Christian Watson, so 6'4", 210, ran an official 4.44 in high school, and there are rumors that he ran a 4.38 at NDSU. We know that he's a burner because when you were watching the Trey Lance film last year, the guy at end of all of those bombs was Christian Watson. And also, if you watch a little bit more of the film there, and it wasn't just the cut-ups, you saw Christian Watson doing all sorts of other cool things like end-arounds or even in the backfield just getting handoffs. Like, you saw him doing some, like, Deebo Samuel-type stuff, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. And, Matt, I know you love the GPS stats. They've got Christian Watson running 23 miles per hour on the GPS. This guy can absolutely fly. Again, if he has a dominant performance there, and we know that NDSU has one of the best weight room programs in America, not FCS, but period. I not only locks up top 50, but they're going to start talking about him as a potential first rounder.
You had me at Deebo Samuel, and I'm sure that Niners fans are hoping for a Trey Lance Christian Watson reunion in San Francisco. Chrissy, though, we should say, I mean, this was not a super high volume passing offense this past season, yet Christian Watson still managed 800 yards, 7 touchdowns. If my math is correct, which is not guaranteed, that was more than a third of the team's receiving yards and more than a third of the receiving touchdowns. I mean, how impressive is that to you, considering the environment there?
Yeah, well, based on the total passing yardage on the season, I would say that your math is probably about correct. And whenever you look at the individual quarterback stats, several games, these quarterbacks are around 200, sometimes much, much less. So there's not a ton to take out of the air there. So to have 800 in this offense really is a lot. And I'm curious, I wish that hypothetically that one season we could put him somewhere else and see just how high those numbers would be, because I'm sure they would be astronomical. He didn't have a single bad day at the Senior Bowl, was one of the best players overall, regardless of position at that showcase.
Seems like a guy who Thor could maybe be like, you know, we see rookies, certainly see rookie wide receivers making an instant impact. This sounds like a guy in the right situation who could be that guy.
Totally agree. Before the first day of the Senior Bowl practices, I was talking to a big time national draft guy, and we were saying bare minimum, Christian Watson comes into the NFL with the starter kit of one of the prototypical Packer outside starting wide receivers, of, you know, the lanky speed burner guy downfield. Just bare minimum. Right. Like the Marquez Valdez Scantling type guy. But what you also get from it, and people don't talk about, you know, some of these aspects of his game, what Christian Watson also does is block his behind off on every single play, because at NDSU, if you don't block, you don't play. That's every single position. And you saw this at the Senior Bowl, like when there was long runs that were broken off on his side, he either had his cornerback, his butt was planted on the sideline, you know, or else Watson was 30 yards downfield acting as a lead envoy. So there's that thing. Or, you know, the thing I was talking about with, you know, where you can use Watson as the runner, you know, end arounds or in the backfield. The other thing that we saw at the Senior Bowl that you did not see as much about at NDSU, and I think this is the real reason why you saw him rise, because it was a new thing. And there just wasn't this element in the NDSU offense, was the intermediate stuff. Particularly, you saw this with Kenny Pickett. They developed a real chemistry there. More of the route running. Christian Watson was snapping off his routes. He was finding soft spots in the zone, you know, turning around, finding where the bodies weren't, catching the ball in traffic. We know he can catch the ball in contested situations downfield, but we didn't know that he could do it in traffic, you know, with bodies around him there, and then, you know, seamlessly turn upfield and do that sort of stuff. He did that there. That's why I think he was on the rise there.
All right, Thor, your most intriguing wide receivers and the ones you're most excited to watch are, first, Cincinnati's Alec Pierce. And Chrissy, I want to get your thoughts on Alec Pierce's quarterback in just a second, as well as USC's Drake London. So, Thor, your quick thoughts on Pierce and London and why you're looking forward to watching those guys this week.
Yeah, so Alec Pierce is another Bruce Feldman freak list. He was number 46 on Feldman's freak list last year. 6'3", 213 pounds. Broke Cincinnati's deadlifting record, 675 pounds. The guy broad jumps 11 feet, vertical jumps 40 inches, runs a 4.45 40, and a 4.14 shuttle. He also had one of the highest ADOTs in this entire class, going back the last couple of years, but last year as well. The one question that you have about the guy, he's extremely, extremely productive. The only question that you have about his sort of profile, I think of him as kind of an Eric Decker type receiver. It's just that the downfield thing, he has sometimes had issues in contested situations. I think he's going to blow the roof off of Indy. I think he's going to test like a banshee. It's just on tape, sometimes there's issues with him in the contested situations. So I think he's going to be sterling there. It's just, you know, you have questions about that contested thing sometimes, but Alec Pierce is a skilled player, and he is one heck of an athlete.
Well, speaking of contested catches, that's sort of the specialty of one Drake London, if I'm not mistaken, Thor. So your quick thoughts on him as well.
Drake London is not only the best in this class in contested situations, you got to go back several classes to find someone that is as good in contested catch situations as him. His ball skills are absolutely insane. Like, he's like a... he's a rebounder, like the comp for him would be like Dennis Rodman. Like, I have this dream that he's going to get drafted by the Bills, because I just want him to play with Josh Allen, like the guy that can throw it the farthest and get the ball up the highest. Because, at that point, you have to put two guys on him. You know, if it's one on one, he's coming down with the ball. But the thing with London, and the reason that I put him in the category of the most excited to watch, is because I'm going to sort of be on pins and needles watching him specifically in the agility drills, and specifically to see if he's going to do the agility drills, because we've seen some guys of his ilk, you know, sort of the lanky sort of stretched out type receivers that have, you know, that are led by this sort of contested catch foot, you know, heading into the NFL, that have ducked that in recent years. You know, you think of like Hakeem Butler, well, DK Metcalf should have ducked up, but he didn't. You just wonder if Drake London is going to do them, and if he does, how will he do? Because the question that you have with Drake London is he going to create separation in the NFL? And the one thing that, you know, evaluators are going to use to gauge that from his tests are that's what it's going to be. It's the agility drills. So, I mean, people are going to be watching those very closely and wondering how he's going to do in those. We will see. The other thing that I would say about Drake London is there's not, when you look at his body type, you know, the 6'5", 210, there's not a ton of guys that have had that body type coming into the NFL in the past 20 years or so that have become superstars. So that's one other thing that he has going, you know, against him. So, I mean, we'll see going in, but people are going to be watching his test very closely.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be interesting to see with Drake London, maybe his future success based on his playing style that you just described is going to depend on who his quarterback is. Like, a risk-averse quarterback is going to be not a good fit for this guy at all if he's not creating much separation. Anyhow, he's just 20 years old, by the way. He and Alec Pierce both had breakout seasons. Pierce, 52 catches, 884 yards, 8 touchdowns. Catching passes from Desmond Ridder. Chrissy, speaking of Ridder, what are you looking for from him this week?
Yeah, I think that he's another quarterback who really just needs to show something. It's a curious case because he led his team way down the postseason with a chance of making it to the national championship against the odds, but how much of it was actually him? I think that he manages the game relatively well. I think that he has a solid foundation traits-wise of someone who I want to develop as potentially a high-end backup. But in one word, Desmond Ridder is lackluster, and he has shown me nothing to believe otherwise, except for the fact that on the second day, whenever all the quarterbacks were out in the elements at the Senior Bowl, he was the only one who really seemed to be able to get it together on a consistent basis in the rain after he put on really just not that incredible of a performance. The first day was, even the people who were high on him were like, you know, like this was the worst quarterback of the day. I thought he got more consistent as time went on. I think throughout the season, he's shown good ball placement. I think that he's shown accuracy at times. It has also been inconsistent at times. I think that he has a lot of things that I want to build off of. I think that he's a safer quarterback for someone who wants to develop as a passer, but I think that he needs to show more it factor, and I'm not really sure that he has that it factor.
So are you there with that assessment of lackluster on Ridder?
More or less. I think Chrissy and I rank Desmond Ridder just about the same. I rank him as my QB6. Who was it? I think it was Danny Kelly had a great Compton to Daniel Jones. And it was one of those comps where I was ticked off because I didn't think of it myself. it was kind of perfect. You know, I mean, like, Ridder has a strong arm. He can push it down the field, but he's just risk averse enough that it doesn't play up like it should. And then he's athletic, but he's not like Malik Willis athletic, right? So he's a dual threat with a big arm, but like it doesn't evoke Michael Vick. That's not the manifestation of it. And speaking to the risk aversion and how that hurts his game, the one thing I disagreed with Chrissy about was the rain day in Mobile on Wednesday. One thing I noted about that was there was one pass where it was like a screen pass, and he lollipopped it to the running back, and the ball must have slipped out of his hands or something. It came up like 2 yards short of the running back, and I think he was a little bit spooked because he'd been struggling with accuracy bad the day before, like Chrissy noted, and I noticed that the next couple reps that he was deliberately trying to scramble because I think he was afraid of putting more bad tape out there for evaluators. So he wasn't even trying to throw, like he was trying to scramble and he was directing traffic like for his receivers, like block and running around the right side of it. And you saw some of this at Cincinnati where going back to Alec Pierce, like he'd be hunting for these deep shots. And if they weren't there, he would take the easy check down or else he would start scrambling. I just don't know if he has that killer in him. Yes, he will avoid the turnovers and he will make some of these big time throws. But he, you know, going back to the Alec Pierce thing, Alec Pierce got in a lot of good situations because Ridder would only throw him the ball when Pierce was more or less in these great situations. But Ridder wasn't putting it there when it was going to be a really tight window because there's this sort of risk aversion thing of Ridder's game. And maybe that was drilled into him. But I just don't know if Ridder's ever going to have that thing, you know, for instance, with Matt Corral. And a part of this is it's a criticism of Corral where Corral's always going for it. But I would much rather have that than the opposite side of it where, you're afraid, you know, to put it out there, you know.
Chrissy, any final thoughts from you on Ridder and risk aversion before we move to the next position group?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. And what I was referencing in the rain was the first group of three quarterbacks. I thought that basically there was a really high expectation for Kenny Pickett to show that he was going to be okay in the rain. I thought that he struggled immensely. Carson Strong, to me, was the best quarterback there the first day. He was throwing high a few times, seemed to be bothered a little bit out in the rain. So I'm not saying that he was the best quarterback there on day two by any means, but I thought in that group of three that he was the one who elevated his game the most, and weirdly enough, the elements. I just thought that it came at a weird time. The bar was on the floor the first day, just to be 1,000% honest with you.
Now to the tight ends. And Thor, your tight end with the most to gain is Nevada's Cole Turner. Chrissy, we're going to talk about his quarterback in a second. But Turner, the former wide receiver, posted 19 total touchdowns the last two seasons combined. So Thor, why does he have so much to gain at the combine?
For me, it's because he lost the most at the Senior Bowl. And Chrissy can probably speak to his game more than me, because I think she watched more of him, you know, these past couple of years. But I expected more of Cole Turner at the Senior Bowl, just to be completely honest with you. And, you know, he put up these bazooka stats at Nevada. And, I mean, they had such a high-powered passing attack. And I, you know, I thought, you know, watching Nevada these past couple of years live, he to me, he looked way more fluid, you know, on the field. Maybe that was just, you know, the scheme or whatever. But on the field in Mobile, maybe it was just a bad week for him. To me, he looked stiff. He didn't look as fast. He didn't look as fluid. He didn't look as agile. His routes didn't look as snappy. And so, like, on all these different metrics, he played down. He didn't even look as big to me. And so for me, the reason I put him on the most to gain is I think I think he needs the testing to flip the script a bit. And if he does, you know, if he can get the testing, he can turn the error around a bit.
Well, Chrissy, as Thor alluded to, you've watched this Nevada team plenty because of another quarterback we'll be watching closely at the combine, Carson Strong. You mentioned him briefly already. So what are your thoughts on Strong and Cole Turner, as Thor said, and this connection between them?
Yeah, well, firstly, Cole Turner is the only non-quarterback that I've interviewed this offseason, because that's kind of where my focus is. And we did talk about the Senior Bowl. He did tell me that he thought that he didn't flash as much at the Senior Bowl as he does on tape. But part of that has to do with the fact that he came in with a goal of proving versatility. So in the Nevada offense, a tight end is going to be used a lot more like a wide receiver. He's moved around a lot. He does a lot around the field, but like the blocking, the stances and stuff are a little bit different at the next level. So I think that he did show that and really comes out to me as, yeah, some of the stuff on tape at Nevada was flashier, but we have a guy who has proven that he can do everything and may be the most versatile tight end in this class, or at least one of the most versatile. He did tell me that he is looking forward to going into the combine and showing that he is also one of the fastest at the position. So testing well is something that he's putting a lot of emphasis on. I'm excited to see where he goes. I think that he should be more highly projected than he is. And then a team's going to get a steal if he does go low, which there's a possibility that he could. So I think that when it comes down to the chemistry, though, Carson Strong, Romeo Dubs, and Cole Turner, they all live together. They've all said that helped their chemistry a lot. They are best friends on and off the field. I think that it also helped to have we'll call him the best quarterback in Nevada history, because I think he's going to be better than Colin Kaepernick was throwing him the ball. I think that that helped a lot, too. I think that Carson Strong is the most talented pure dropback passer in this class, most talented pure passer. I think really before the season, a lot of people actually had him as the first quarterback coming off the board, at least before the season or 2 weeks into the season. But the reason why that dropped to some extent outside of the first round itself was because of these concerns over the knee, and what that started with a rumor. And since then, as I said earlier, he's been cleared, but you have this weird phenomenon where people are still going and saying, oh, we liked what we saw Carson Strong at the Senior Bowl, and throughout the season, he's been super consistent. We like everything about him, but the knee. It's like, why are you still talking about the knee? That's already been cleared up. It shouldn't be an issue. It's like this weird hysteria that's never going to go away, even after it's cleared at the combine too. I also think that at the Senior Bowl that he showed is definitely far from Lamar Jackson, but he showed a certain level of at least escapability that he hadn't shown before. He ran the ball a few times, and I think that he's definitely not developed in that area. He's not going to do a lot for you in that area. But when you look at what's required of a quarterback in the air raid offense, they're not asked to do that ever. And we had this weird thing going on with Davis Mills last year too, as he was this guy that Davis Mills is more mobile than Carson Strong by a mile, but he was knocked for having zero mobility and being a statue, which was not the case. And which is why he went through so many mobility drills and then showed that he wasn't. It was just a product of the Stanford offense. So I think there's factors like that that people have got to look into as well.
All right, Thor, let's now get to the tight ends you find most intriguing, the guys you're most excited to watch. And a couple names here, that would be Coastal Carolina's Isaiah Likely and Colorado State's Trey McBride. Now, Likely had a dozen touchdowns last season. McBride did his best Falcons Kyle Pitts impression with 90 catches, 1,120 yards, but just one touchdown. How do these guys profile as prospects and fantasy prospects at the next level for you?
for fantasy people, both of these guys are very intriguing. So fantasy people should be looking at both these guys and how they test very, very closely. First for Isaiah Likely, he's more on the sleeper side of things. He's more of a middle round prospect. And his testing is even more important for where his you know, where he ends up going. He would be considered more of a volatile stock right now. He's on the smaller side. I think he's 6'4", 240 at the top of my head, something like that. But he was dominant in the Sun Belt. You know, he was in that super fun but wonky offense at Coastal Carolina with Grayson McCaw. And he's lined up. They lined him up in a bunch of different spots. But the thing that you wonder about him with his size and again, in that wonky offense and lining him up everywhere, is he big enough to play inline in the NFL, number one? And if he's not, you know, and hold up in blocking and everything like that. And if he's not, is he athletic enough to hold up long term as a big slot in the NFL? We know that he is skilled enough as a receiver. You know, he showed that in college. So I'm not concerned about that at all. It's just, you know, we're going to see, you know, once he goes out and tests. But, you know, the size thing, it's going to be interesting to see what he measures in at and all that sort of stuff. And then you want to see what the athletic profile is. And then as far as McBride goes, you know, you mentioned it. I mean, the productivity speaks for itself. And he did this over multiple years. His, you know, receiving stats last year were absolutely ludicrous. He was another guy that they literally lined him up everywhere. They lined him up in line. They lined him up in the slot. They lined him up out wide. They lined him up in the backfield. I mean, literally everywhere. And he did not have the benefit that Likely did. Likely had a great quarterback. You know, whenever McCall comes out in the draft, I don't know if it's going to be next year or the year after that, we will definitely be talking about him. I think it was Todd Senteo was Colorado State's quarterback. We will never be talking about Todd Senteo. I'm sorry if Mr. and Mrs. Senteo are out there listening to this podcast, but whenever his eligibility is exhausted, we will not be talking about him. But they force-fed Trey McBride targets anyway. And so, you know, he was in all of these contested situations. I think McBride led this class in contested targets. So he was in all of these bad situations where, you know, there was like, you know, you think of like the original Nintendo with what was that, Duck Hunter? You know, you got the little thing, the plastic Duck gun and the thing. Yeah. He was being thrown all of these ducks, right? Like, and you know, then there's, you know, all these defenders around him because of the whole name of the game for all these MWC defenses was stop Trey McBride. Colorado State didn't have anyone else on that entire team. And yet he put up these just ludicrous numbers. He had, I believe, the highest PFF hands grade in this tight end class as well. Again, despite these horrible situations that he was in. But, you know, the thing with him is he's on the smaller side. He's only 6'3". He's not terribly long, you know, as well. You know, our arms are a little bit on the shorter side as well. So we want to see, you know, what he officially measures in at. And we also want to see what the athletic testing is. You know, it's not expected that he's going to, you know, test as a crazy burner or anything like that. So we want to see what the profile ends up being. He's expected to be maybe a second rounder right now, but he should be the first tight end off the board. We'll see what he tests at.
Well, Chrissy, as we said, your specialty is quarterbacks, but looking at both of these guys, Likely and McBride, anything you want to add? I mean, McBride in particular, I think, was in a pretty run heavy offense. Any perspective you want to add about the offenses that they played in and posted those numbers?
I'm an air raid person, but there's something almost artistic and intriguing about this spread triple option that Coastal Carolina runs and that Grayson McCall has conducted so well, even early on in his career. And like Thor said, this was one of my top quarterbacks already in this draft class. Obviously didn't come out, could come out next year. I think that he helps Likely out and that Likely helps him out. I think that those are two prospects that are intriguing. And then when we look at Trey McBride and the run-heavy offense, it's kind of the same story that we've been talking about with some of these other guys. If people are running the ball more, by mathematics, your numbers are supposed to be lower. And so whenever they're higher, that speaks volumes about you and who you are as a player. At the Senior Bowl, I was not watching him closely. I heard a lot of mixed reviews about him. Some people were super impressed with him. Some people thought that he could have been better on the first or second day. There was some stuff like that, but I think he's immensely talented. I think that moving forward in the NFL, that versatility across every position is a big trait to have, and it's certainly one that he showed in college.
All right. Meanwhile, Alabama offensive lineman Evan Neal, as we know, is the front runner to be the number one overall pick. And on a related note, as you mentioned, Thor, right before we came on the air, he announced he's not going to test at the combine. So we're going to turn our attention now to a couple of defensive players before we get out of here. And Aiden Hutchinson, another guy who's in that number one conversation, coming off a season of 14 sacks. So Thor, why are you excited to see him in particular this week? And what are you looking for?
Well, I think he has a shot, I believe, to lock up edge one. You know, the Thibodeau, his arrow has been sort of going the other way early in the process. And I don't think people realize what a stud athlete Hutchinson is. He was the number two Bruce Feldman freak lister last year. Hutchinson came out, people listen to the Pat McAfee show. Hutchinson said earlier this process that he was going to light up the combine. He is pretty confident, and I think he has every reason to be confident. He has run in the low 4.6s, confirmed in the 40s. He has a mid 30-inch vertical. I mean, he measures it, he's 6'6". The bench press, 30 times, over 30 times. He also has a 6.373 cone time, that was Kwity Paye. But Hutchinson has a 6.54 that he's done before. And, he's trying to compete with him in that. So he's used Kwity Paye sort of as his benchmark and to sort of compete with that. And he's been in the weight room. And obviously Kwity Paye was a freak athlete. So Hutchinson has been trying to measure himself against that. We'll see if he can get there, with some of that stuff. But he is an absolute freak. Fran Duffy, I saw Fran Duffy had projected some of Aiden Hutchinson's numbers. This is Fran Duffy's projections for Aiden Hutchinson, just for people out there if they're interested. He had Aiden Hutchinson with 32 bench reps, a 37-inch vertical, 4.640, 4.01 shuttle, and 6.493 cone. So if anyone out there is taking notes, that's what Fran has down for Aiden Hutchinson.
Seems good. Chrissy, in the process of studying quarterbacks, what have you seen from Hutchinson? What has stood out to you?
Yeah, I think that Hutchinson is the best defensive player in this class. It's not for no reason that he's still in talks for first overall, though those have dwindled down a little bit. I don't see him dropping below the top five. I don't think very many people do at all. I think he's an explosive player. And then outside of just the tangibles, which Thor covered really well, is this relentless mentality that shows up obviously on film in his play, but let's think about everything that Michigan accomplished against the odds and kind of the negative perception of them that was out there for a little while. I think that translates into, for lack of a better word and kind of cliche, really good locker room mentality. He's a guy that's going to elevate your team both on the field and just mentally speaking, I think from day one, which speaks volumes about who he is as a player. And I think that's shined through in the interviews that he's done with media and what we've heard coming out about teams.
All right, we're just quickly hitting on defense on this episode ahead of the combine. A lot more to come in the weeks ahead. But one other guy that fantasy managers who play in IDP leagues will want to keep on their radar is Notre Dame's Kyle Hamilton. Thor, tell us why you're looking forward to seeing Hamilton this week.
Oh, well, I mean, because you're gonna see a freak unlike, almost any other sort of freak that you're going to see test.
The freak of freaks? We've arrived at the freak of freaks here?
Yeah, you're gonna see a freak of freaks. This kid's 6'4", 219, and this might be the last GPS reference you get in this pod, Matt, so strap in.
Okay, I'm going to cherish it. I'm going to savor it. I'm going to soak it in.
Yeah, this is a Garmin reference for you. So 21 miles per hour, he's been clocked at. Broad jump of 10.8, and vertical, he's been at 41 inches. So this kid, or tick over 41 inches, this kid is an absolutely ludicrous athlete, and runs 4.4, might even get high 4.3s. We'll see. Just an absolutely ludicrous athlete at 6.4, and approaching 220. You just don't see athletes like this. And on the field, he's just a ridiculous player. The football IQ, how quickly he triggers, whether it's into run alleys or whether it's in coverage, a two-way player, both in coverage and against the run. But the athleticism is just so stupid in that package. And you're going to see it on full display in Indianapolis.
Chrissy, before we go, your thoughts on the freak of freaks, Kyle Hamilton?
Yeah, I think that the frame on Hamilton is definitely going to be something that catches the attention. I mean, it's hard to ignore that. It's going to catch your eye as soon as he walks into a room. He's a guy who can make plays over the top, and he's going to go get the ball for you. Three interceptions over seven games. I could see him landing with a team like the Detroit Lions that desperately needs to bolster its secondary.
All right. That is going to do it for us, guys. Don't forget to subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, wherever you listen. Take a minute to rate and review us as well. You can follow Chrissy at Chrissy_Freud. Thor is at ThorKU. Keep it tuned to NBC Sports Edge for updates throughout the week from Indy. I want to say thanks to everyone for listening and watching live. Chrissy, Thor, thanks to both of you guys. I'll talk to you soon.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.